It's time to get your goalkeeping groove on with the ultimate at-home goalkeeping workout. Want to top up on your training? Join ex-Premier League stopper Richard Lee from the comfort of your own home. For 30 minutes, three times per week, Rich will take to Instagram Live and run viewers through an easy-to-follow training routine developed from his years of professional experience working with first-class goalkeepers and goalkeeping coaches. Work on and improve speed, strength, technique, and many other aspects of your game while engaging the core muscle groups and athletic ability required to be a top goalkeeper.
Just there, nice and simple. Just right hand to left hand, get the ball moving, get a little bit higher. Good, right into some, straight into some goalkeeping core. So ball out in front, nice squat down and up.
All you need is a few essential household items, a good Wi-Fi connection, and a small space at home. With a weekly mindset session and goalkeeper quiz to boot, consider this your one-stop shop for goalkeeping growth. Join the Joe Wicks of goalkeeping today on a free one-week trial with no obligation to continue. Visit goalkeepersunion.net/workout for more details.
You've been brilliant. You always are. Well done. Great attitude. I'll see you shortly. Take care.
This is GKU TV with me, Matt Beadle, and the live voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Hello there, Matthew.
You are live. We are live. We're doing something a little bit different today because we're going to put this out as a podcast. We're kind of killing two birds with one stone. It's the first time we've done it, so we're going to see how it goes. It is between the sticks. We are going to be talking exclusively about David Raya and the player final last night. A bit of Marek Rodak as well, because a very good performance from him. But David Raya, Richard, has courted all the headlines for all the wrong reasons last night. I'm going to get onto some of the reaction that we've had from various pundits who have written various columns that no doubt you'll be thrilled with, and some of the reaction from the fans as well. But first and foremost, as an ex-Brentford goalkeeper who also made a well-highlighted error in a playoff semi-final a few years back, a tough one to take for him.
Yeah, really tough, really tough. And as you say, I know we're going to get into it, going to hear some of the comments. And first and foremost, I want to just touch on the sensitivity because, look, it has just happened last night, and I'm sure along with a lot of Brentford fans, I was watching it and naturally very, very disappointed in that final whistle when knowing that yet again, another playoff that hasn't gone our way. And really, bearing in mind that there's been three major chances when you look at the last two games of the regular season and, of course, last night as well, for whatever reason, for all the fantastic football throughout the season, just couldn't quite get over the line. And it's tough, and it's going to be really tough going into next season. And for David in particular, and I wanted to do this because I know it's a little bit soon, and ordinarily we might give it a couple of days for the dust to settle, but he's been phenomenal this season. He's got a lot of interest naturally because of the way in which he played. And arguably, the way in which he's played, which has got him all the plaudits, was something that was costly last night. The fact that he is so aggressive, the fact that he comes for so many things, he's so quick off his line, he's so agile, fantastic distribution. But most importantly, the fact that he's always taken such an aggressive starting position, which is one of the big reasons he's been one of the standout goalkeepers. Of course, last night, the one thing that didn't go his way in the game, because other than that, by the way, I thought it was a 9 out of 10 performance. I thought it was brilliant. Other than that, but one moment, as you mentioned, it's something that I know all too well from my days as well.
I got one for you, actually, on that. Before we get into the Twitter responses, so we put this out on Twitter yesterday. I'm going to sift through a lot of the responses that we got on Twitter with regards to that error from David Raya. But before we do that, Rich, as well, Peter Schmeichel, the guy that you normally like to reference, I was listening to a podcast recently, and they brought up the fact that Peter Schmeichel seemed to get lobbed a lot, and no one's ever really referenced that. Davor Suka in Euro 96, you think of the successive weeks. It was Belgian centre-back Philippe Albert, wasn't it? In that 5-0 defeat against Newcastle and then the 6-3 defeat against Southampton. Matt Le Tissier chipped him as well. And suddenly, I was listening to this conversation of these guys going, do you know what? Pierre Schmeichel used to get lobbed a lot. Maybe he wasn't as good as we thought he was.
Well, do you know, actually, Peter Schmeichel's one of the only ones, I'd say, that's remembered very positively for several reasons, but one being that the great save against Rapid Vienna. A lot of us remember that. Fantastic save. And the fact that he went out on such a high. They won the treble and he went out. That was it. I'm done. See you later. That, if you're going to finish a career at a club, that's how you do it. But how many goalkeepers get the opportunity to finish their career on such a major high, having won so many trophies? And for the errors he made, he did make some errors. He never made any that were truly costly. And I know you probably know what I'm going to bring up now, but had they have lost that Champions League final, there would have been question marks about that goal he conceded against Bayern Munich. And you do wonder, would history have been different had United lost that game 1-0 to Bayern Munich? For those that remember, it was a free kick that was his side of the wall that goes in the corner. No one really said anything about because United win the game 2-1. Had they lost the game 1-0, do we then remember Peter Schmeichel differently? And so much of it is out of their control, is out of our control. Had Brentford won that game 2-1 yesterday, we'd have talked about the David Raya moment, but it would have been a small moment. And that, again, the problem. You're playing a sport within a bigger sport. And unfortunately, your part's a very small part to play. And there's only so much you can do. And in terms of how you're then referenced afterwards or rated afterwards will often depend on how the outfield players do, which kind of seems unfair to me.
Yeah, certainly does. And on that, Danny Sambridge says the media have ruined a number of English goalkeepers' careers. I was reading a few publications this morning. David Raya hilariously trolled last night for his howler in the playoff final. Hilarious? Is it? Is it really hilarious? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe we need to have a better sense of humour. But I'm going to run through quickly some of the tweets that we had just to give a bit of analysis on this error from David Raya. We know that it was an error, but let's try and get into why the error was caused. Now, Rad Reynolds says, great awareness from Brian. That's Joe Bryan who scored the free kick. Great awareness from him. If you watch closely, he takes a small step forward as the ball is struck, anticipating the cross. Without that little step and change in balance, I think he still gets back to save it. Chris Parker, it's a little bit like Seaman in 2002. If I had to compare it to something, quick thinking from the free kick taker, his anticipation was his own downfall. Nick Turnbull says, the downside of having a goalkeeper who is so positive on coming for crosses is that kind of thing could happen. Fulham have done their homework, watched a fair bit of Brentford this year, and he's been excellent. So unfortunate. One more before I do a few more after that, after you've commented, Rich. Kevin Swallow, strong position for the cross, but I think he's taken his eye off the ball and it's well in flight before he sees it again. Assumption is the mother of all mistakes. For a goalkeeper, it often results in a goal. You can hear him too, just before the ball crosses the line. Unlucky.
Yeah, really interesting comments. And I'm not going to disagree with a lot of the comments. What I would say is, and this comes back to, in fact, first and foremost, as a rule of thumb, what's your position as a goalkeeper? As a rule of thumb, your position as a goalkeeper is to be as advanced as you possibly can without the risk of being beaten. Okay, so is it a mistake? Yes, it's a mistake, of course. However, and this is the bit that is so hard to calculate. How many goals have been stopped by David Raya having such an advanced starting position? There was a moment last night where Marek Rodak does a long clearance and he's about to put one of his strikers in. All of a sudden, you see David Raya head it away from 40 yards out because
that's what the goal was scored from that resultant free kick.
Was it really? But this is it. Yeah. The fact that he's so aggressive. Again, if he's not aggressive, potentially you've got a one-on-one. There was another moment when the ball was cut, a square ball. And I think it would have been Mitrovic would have been on the six-yard box to have a shot. And he's come out and managed to get there in front of him and punched it. A really unorthodox save. But again, read the game brilliantly. My advice to him, not that I'm sure he will be listening, and maybe he is, who knows. But my advice to him would be not to change how he is. Because I go back to what I said before. One of the reasons that he's been so, so good this season, arguably the best goalkeeper in the Championship, certainly top three for me, is the fact that he is aggressive. Now, do you then make small tweaks? Potentially, but don't go the other way. How many goalkeepers do we see that overcover the near post? How many goalkeepers do we see that stand on their line on corners, in-swingers or out-swingers? Doesn't matter. They're not coming. Like, I don't like watching goalkeepers like that. I love watching the likes of David Raya as a goalkeeping purist, I guess, as someone that loves a position. To see a goalkeeper with that kind of confidence, that kind of brave to take those positions, to come for crosses. How many crosses did he come for in the semi-final against Swansea in the second leg? Just kept coming for crosses. People talk about height, by the way, because he's not a 6'5" goalkeeper. He's probably 6'1", 6'2" tops, but coming for cross after cross after cross. I just hope he doesn't change how he plays, because that kind of goal is a one one in a season goal, I would say, tops. One in a season goal. And it is a brilliant bit of vision from Brian. If you're going to be critical, which of course everybody is, it was. He didn't quite react quick enough. I don't think his position was horrendous. It was incredibly advanced. But I think with his athleticism, had he reacted a tiny bit quicker, I think he does actually still get back and make the save.
Few more. James Jocelyn says he'd already broadcasted to Fulham that he'd rather come for the ball than trust his defenders when he came out of the box for the risky header that led to the free kick. Too keen, says James. Chris Hawkins, very poor. No need to be that far off his line. Shame, because he is very good. Andy Hashtag, who is a guy whose Instagram Live you have appeared on before, I think, and he's given us a diagram as well. I think he's actually in a decent position there. And you think, given the distance the ball has to travel, he should be able to cover the goal relatively easy. But he looks slow to react and pausing on impact. He's not paying attention to the free kick taker. Something has his focus. Nicholas Goulding says, genuinely annoyed me. Been great all season, but to switch off like that is unforgivable. And the dive after the ball had already gone was ridiculous. And let's touch on that, because that's what's hilarious, apparently, to everybody, is that dive after the ball effectively goes past him. A lot of people comparing it to a glitch in FIFA or Pro Evo. What's the deal there? Because he did dive afterwards, didn't he?
I mean, he did, but it's, look, you're just, we're programmed. I think that's probably a fitting word after that, but we're programmed. Like, it's funny when I see goals go in and the goalkeeper hasn't dived, because I just feel that it's, look, the chances are that there's certain goals you're not going to save. There's certain times you see a shot and you'll see a goalkeeper stand, watch it go in the corner. And you know what? Sometimes it makes it look a little bit more dramatic. But for me, if you're training every week to set dive, if you don't even get a dive away, you're not giving yourself a chance. And there are certain goalkeepers, I won't name names, but there are certain goalkeepers out there who I feel at times, I'm just like, get a dive away. Because actually, I don't know if you've got a chance of saving it or not, because you haven't got a dive away. So look, the fact that he dived a bit late is more the fact that he had to take so many steps in order to get there. The momentum is 3-4 steps because he is advanced. It's not like a step and a dive. It's 1-2-3. And in the end, I think it's just one of them. It's more out of despair than anything else. You know, he's going to fall over one way or another, and he's just tried to go and he's gone too late. But yeah, look, it is a horrible moment. And I go back to the comment, I think it was, you mentioned hashtag Andy, and I agree with that, in that I think that his position was okay. It was advanced, very, very advanced. Not many goalkeepers you see who are that advanced, but I still think, had he reacted straight away, he makes the save. So again, it's going to be really interesting next season to see if he has a free kick from a similar position, what position he takes up. Again, I'll repeat my point, which is I hope he takes up a similar position, because this is how I love to see goalkeeping played. And it's very easy to look at it, and I know someone said they're angry, and of course we're all angry. Do you know what? As soon as that game was finished, I was gutted. The fact that three games they had, really, as a team, and this isn't David Ray, this is as a team, three games that had they won any of those three, they'd have got promoted, and it didn't happen. So of course we're all angry, but I then think this is part of the issue in terms of when we analyze goalkeepers, when we look at goalkeepers. That's one moment, but for the way in which he plays, he has made so many saves because of that. He has cut out so many through balls because of that. He's been so effective because of that. So you almost have to take the odd moment like that for all the positivity you get. By the way, Neil Cutler, I see, makes a really good point there as well. This is something that hasn't been touched on, is the small cues. So look, I talk a lot about free kicks. It was something that I prided myself on. I thought I was quite good when it came to facing free kicks, because this comes back to concentration, where, again, starting position for me is okay. His back line, his defensive line is high enough. He's given himself enough space to come and catch across. So the actual setup is fine, but there are small cues. So when you see a taker about to take the kick, even the angle of the free kick taker, there are small cues within that that might give you a bit of an idea. Now, what the example I'll give, imagine that a striker gets the ball back to goal 18 yards out. Ball's played in, takes that slight turn, half turn, and then goes for the shot. Well, look, the chances are, based on the curl of the ball, based on the positioning of the striker, it's going to go to your left-hand side. It's going to curl in towards the goal. If it's going to go to your right-hand side, it's curling away. Now, I use that as an example because your position won't necessarily be a true position. You won't be in the center of the goal, because the likelihood of what strike is going to happen means that really you should shift a yard to your left. Similarly, the moment you see that Brian just alters his run-up ever so slightly, that might be where David Rea says, he might have that in him. You know, he might have that in it. And you've always got to be aware that a player like that might go for goal. So at that point, you might just think, okay, maybe just a slight step. So there are always these little subtle cues that you can see when it comes to being on the receiving end of a free kick.
What I would say as well, in response to that, I suppose, was the brilliant planning from Fulham. And you talk about cues. Scott Parker bringing Joe Bryan over to the touchline before the free kick and actually acting up a bit and making it out like he was giving him some tactical information. He was sort of moving his hands around as if to suggest that they were doing a tactical change. And Thomas Frank was preoccupied by a member of his staff, and he was talking to a member of his staff, so he wasn't taking notice. And Scott Parker, it looked like he might have said something under his breath as Joe Bryan came to say, don't react to what I'm saying. But he made out like he was making a tactical change. But what he was saying to Joe Bryan was, we've discussed this before, go for goal. And they tried to go for goal in the semi-final, I think it was, or maybe a game against Brentford earlier on in the season. And it didn't work. And no one talked about it. But they tried it this time. But it was very clever because that is Fulham doing their homework. And Joe Bryan alluded to that after the game as well. He said, we did our homework. And he said, I also gave him the eyes. Because we talk about the body shape, but if you look at Joe Bryan, he puts his hand up to signal whatever it is that that signals to Fulham players. But he was also looking away from goal. And what I did like about that was that he said, when I was younger, my dad used to put me in goal when we used to play football in the field. And he always used to give me the eyes. So that's something that I learned from my dad way back when.
Yeah, no, it was. And that's where I think there should be more focus on that in terms of the brilliance, the attention to detail, as opposed to the other side. But naturally, of course, it's very easy to look at something like this and instantly look at the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper's position and the goalkeeper's part to play. The other bit I'll touch on as well is there is a certain technique that goalkeepers seem to adopt, either when it's a free kick or a corner. I see Dean Henderson do this. I actually quite like it. Dean Henderson starts quite deep on a corner, but he's moving as the corner's taken, almost moving out. So he's got a little bit of momentum with him, but basically saying, I'm going to be aggressive. If I come for this, I will come for this. And he wants to have the momentum with him rather than having a static position. Now, some will disagree because some will say that textbook goalkeeping says you shouldn't do that. But I can see the thinking behind it. It's almost putting himself in a positive mind frame to then come and try and take the cross. I just wonder whether there's a sense of that as well, that he's so much on the front foot that then to make the step backward almost feels awkward, because very rare, he probably hasn't done it for years, because ordinarily you are going out to catch the cross. Very rarely you're having to do that movement back on yourself.
Yeah, Jake Boxer, in full agreement with you, says Raya was very, very unlucky. And Alan Pepin also says that he saved Brentford enough times this season. Yes, it was frustrating, but perhaps the bees wouldn't have been there had it not been for David Raya. I'm just going to read out a couple more tweets before we move on to Marek Rodak. And this is a great point raised by Chris Kelsey, who said, did anyone give Neil Sullivan criticism on his positioning when Beckham lobbed him from the halfway line in 96? No, everybody was just delighted at how good the strike was from David Beckham. So that just goes to show, doesn't it, how far we haven't come, really, when it comes to goalkeeping. And Mikhail Anchoviak says, the step did David Raya. Should go left foot in front of his right instead of going behind. Small margins, but could have made a difference.
Yeah, do you know what? I want to touch on the Beckham one, because this again comes back to, I know Danny Sambridge mentioned the media, and it comes back to the narrative. Now, had they had two different players involved there, so instead of it being Beckham and Sullivan, let's say it was, I don't know, pluck a name out of the air, and it was David Seaman in goal. Let's say it was Carlton Palmer. Let's do Carlton Palmer, shall we? Carlton Palmer shoots from the halfway line, David Seaman gets lobbed. Does it still get the same attention? Because at the time, David Beckham was golden boy. Well, he was golden boy, literally. They loved him and they wanted him to be the next golden balls. There you go, close enough. So they wanted him to be the next big. So it fit the narrative to focus on that as opposed to the goalkeeping in that situation. Also, social media obviously wasn't as strong as it is now. In fact, I don't think there was any social media back then. So, of course, it would have just been one narrative. It would have been the paper's narrative. And that's what we were buying into. That's what we were reading. Whereas now, of course, the way of the world, we've all got our opinions and everybody's putting their opinions out there. But it's a really, really good point.
OK, let's move on to Marek Rodak, who hasn't really attracted too many headlines this season, but someone that you have been watching closely throughout the season. 36 games in the end, 36 goals conceded, 14 clean sheets. David Raya took the golden gloves with 16, but played, I think, 13 more games the Marek Rodak. Really, really impressive.
Yeah, Marek. So I actually went for a coffee with him. It would have been a couple of years ago. And this was when he was at Rotherham. And not many people had heard of him at that point. But you could see the progression. And he'd gone from being, initially you look at him, and when he was younger, a little bit untidy. But, you know, there was something there. Great side volley on him. Lovely, this lovely shape about him. Was quite aggressive in how he played. Sometimes unorthodox, I'd say. But what he's done is exactly what I recommend every goalkeeper do. And I've said this so many times on this show. Dean Henderson is the other example of what Marek Rodak's done, where it's National League, League Two, League One, Championship, and it will now be Premier League for Marek Rodak, which is fantastic. For me, and meeting him, speaking to him, I could tell instantly the self-confidence was off the charts. Like, really assured in how he was. And you've seen that everywhere he's gone, every club he's gone to, he's been successful and the clubs have been successful. And again, with Fulham, and by the way, he's keeping Bettinelli out. Bettinelli was in an England squad not that long ago, yet they've shown faith to put Marek Rodak in, stick with him. And I've heard rumours that Fulham not gone up. They believed he would leave because there was that much interest in him and he's done that well. Now they've gone to the Premier League. I'm sure he will stay. And I think he's going to be a bit of a star next season.
Great tweet, by the way, last night from an account called Slovak Football, just mentioning Slovakian goalkeepers, Martin Dubravka, ever present for Newcastle United in the Premier League last season. Rodak played in the 36 out of the 49 league games for Fulham. They've gone up. And Marco Marozzi as well, 37 of Coventry City league games.
Do you know what? I touch a lot on mentality. Now, maybe this is a bit of a generalisation, but I think there is a certain mentality to be a goalkeeper. And I mentioned when I met him, and the instant impression I got was one of complete confidence, absolute belief in yourself, which I think for goalkeepers now to be a top goalkeeper, and the likes of some of the younger English goalkeepers really seem to have this in abundance. To be a top goalkeeper, I think you need that, almost arrogance. We'd always speak about Peter Schmeichel. He was the initial one, the arrogance. And now you see it with a lot of these younger goalkeepers where such confidence in themselves. And I think if you're going to make it to the Premier League, given the amount of criticism, the amount of media coverage and everything else that comes with the position, I think that you need to have that kind of mindset in order to get to the top. And again, he's got that. Now, if we're going to break down his game, he's got a lot more as well. He's although you can tell he's not natural with his feet, he's very good with his feet. He's got a lovely side volley on him, moves well, very athletic, obviously good to him. He's kind of got that De Gea type shape where he's quite lean, but he's very powerful with it and he gets down very, very quickly. I really enjoy watching him play.
I think, Richard, that is us for today. It's the Europa League and the Champions League has returned or is returning today. So we'll have plenty more action and reaction from those games.
We will indeed. Yeah, last finish, I just said a really good question down there about the biggest mental hurdle being the financial impact on David Raya. I mean, look, it shouldn't be because everything we've touched on in this, the bit I will touch on, I had this personally. I mentioned the mistake I made Hull City back in 2007, I think it was 2008. And do you know what? It shouldn't be, but it kind of was for me because all of a sudden you see things happening around you where people losing their jobs or suddenly the football club was just changing. And I found that personally really difficult because naturally, even though I've gone out there, I've tried my very best, the feeling that I'm somehow responsible for the negativity that's surrounding a football club, it is very, very difficult. Now, it's easy to say, I just forget about it, move on. It's just a game. You tried your best. But it can be. Now, I suppose my final words on this would be that I just hope that there is a positive for him to take. The fans gather around him in particular because of how good he's been. He's been an absolute star for them, arguably their best signing, certainly top three signings over the last few years. I really hope that fans do gather around him back into the hill, which I'm sure they will, and no doubt we'll see many, many more great years of David Raya. Because for me, I love watching him play. He's my favourite goal, certainly top three favourite goalkeepers in the Championship for me to play. So I just hope this is a minor blip in what is a fantastic bigger picture. And hopefully, Brentford, this time next year, it's a very different situation and they can enjoy the new ground in the Premier League. But Matthew, thank you, as always. I've thoroughly enjoyed this.
Thank you, Richard. Me too.
Great stuff. Guys, for those doing the workout, I'll see you in about 10 minutes' time. We're obviously doing a psychology talk. If you guys want to know more about the online program we have, do send me a DM or they can find the details on patreon.com/goalkeepersunion. See, I've remembered it, Matthew.
Impressive.
Thank you. Guys, take care. See you later.